Welcome to the Songs and Stories of Canada. This program is called The Homesteaders.
Homesteaders? Who are the homesteaders?
They were the immigrants who settled the prairies. You see, 70 years ago, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta were practically empty, so the government was giving away free land for farms. For a $10 registration fee, you got 160 acres of land.
Just like that?
Well, you had to build a house on it, grow crops on it, and live on it for 3 years. Then you could keep it.
Sounds pretty easy.
Well, you just try it. When it's 40 below zero and there's a blizzard outside and you have to chop wood to light your stove and then melt snow on the stove to have enough water to wash your clothes. And then in the spring when you want to go into town to buy supplies, the roads are so muddy that your wagon wheels are up to the axles in mud and the horses sink in up to their knees.
Okay, so it wasn't easy.
Then in summer the dust is so bad that you can't go outside, so you're stuck in the house for 3 days until the wind dies down. And when you finally go outside, you find your crops all gone and your soil blown all the way to Ontario.
Right.
And in the fall, you're all ready to harvest and a hailstorm comes along and knocks everything flat. And then it's winter again. And so cold at night that you have to bring the animals inside the house so they don't freeze to death.
And you've Rather got your than laundry listen to John drone on for the next
the
2 hours, we're going to go and talk to some real homesteaders. Mr. and Mrs. Kowalski homesteaded out west many years ago, and today we'll be visiting them on their farm in Saskatchewan.
In the when the water goes down, everything is damp and starts to go moldy, and your whole house stinks. And then it's summer again, and so hot you can't breathe. And a big
Old Grandma, when the West was new, she wore hoop skirts and bustles too. When infants came and times got bad, she stuck right on to old Granddad. She worked hard 7 days a week to keep Granddad well fed and sleek. 21 children came to bless their happy home in the wilderness. 21 boys, oh, how they grew, big and strong on bacon, too. They slept on the floor with the sheep and the goats, and they hunted in the woods in their oilskin coats. 21 necks Grandma would scrub, 21 shirts in the old wash tub, 21 meals 3 times a day. It's no wonder Grandma's hair turned gray. Old Granddad was a busy man. He washed his face in the frying pan. He shaved his beard with a hunting knife, and he wore the same suit all his life. Old Grandma had a broody hen. She got it from her cousin Ben. In a pair of pants she made a nest, and the hen hatched out a coat and vest. She could make good Mountain Dew, home-baked beans and Irish stew. Old Granddad, he once skinned a goat, and Grandma made a new fur coat. She did was quite all right. She worked all day and she slept all night. But young folks now, they're the other way. They're up all night and they sleep all day.
Enrica, hello.
Hi.
Hello, Mrs. Kowalski.
Oh, how nice to see you. Buster, be quiet. Well, you're just on time. Supper's just ready. Peter, here's John and Rika.
Welcome to the old homestead.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Come on, let's eat. I'm starving.
Yeah. Well, just help yourselves. Dig in.
Oh, sure is hot out today.
Yeah, you could probably fry eggs on the henhouse roof. It's like this, you have to watch out for thunderstorms, especially hailstorms. Ooh, a hailstorm on the prairies. That's something you have to see to believe. I remember this one Sunday day in August years ago. We were into harvest time, and noon the men came in for lunch, and while we ate, the sky got all dark. Storm clouds rolled up, and there was flashes of lightning everywhere. Tremendous rolls of thunder. We were in for a storm. Well, we didn't think much of it. We'll delay the harvest, that's all. Well, we took shelter, and the storm rolled over. And when we came out 10 minutes later, our beautiful waving field of wheat was a black, battered mess of mud and straw. Hail! Huge hailstones lying everywhere. Dead bodies of my chickens lay all over the farmyard, and the swollen river had washed away all our geese and ducks. Our cattle out in the pasture was pounded to death by hailstones the size of baseballs. When you felt them under the skin, it was all soft and mushy, beaten to a pulp. All in 10 minutes. The work of a whole year, smashed to bits.
Wow.
After an experience like that, a lot of people must have given up.
Oh, some did. You hear a lot of stories and songs about people who left.
We've heard quite a few of them, too. Like this one about a guy who came to homestead in Alberta, from the States.
It was way out west in Alberta, where the coyotes howl and sing, where it rained and hailed all summer, and we never raised a thing. Oh, I came out here one summer, away out in the west. I think I'll turn and go back, or I will starve to death. We traveled through Battle Lake Valley, through muskeg, mud, and mire, till I came where they were surveying a road for the CPR. I built a little log cabin with a roof of natural clay. Dear friends, I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm bound for the USA. Oh, money, I haven't $1, and the grubstake, she's run mighty low. Just as soon as the frog ponds freeze over, it's back to the US I'll go. Farewell to the poor old homesteader, farewell to the land so free. Farewell to sunny Alberta, she's too darn cold for me.
Yep, a lot of people left. But a lot more stayed. They took the good with the bad, stuck it out, made a good life for themselves.
What was it like when you first came?
Empty. Very empty. No towns, no roads, no trees, just bald prairie.
So what's the first thing you did?
We built a soddy. That's a sod house. A house made of dirt. There used to be thousands of them out here. You couldn't build with logs, because there weren't enough trees. So what you do is plow up the prairie and use that. It was stiff as board, because there were millions of tiny roots in it. First, you had to build a frame. You went into the hills or wherever you could find wood. poplar, most likely, and you put up a skeleton frame. It sort of guided you. Then you plowed out these big pieces of sod, piled them up against it. Yes, I remember when my father was plowing to plant oats. It was my mother and brother and me who built that house. You know, you had to leave a space for the door. I remember our door was low and tiny, and Dad had to stoop down low to get in. And the roof, oh, it leaked a lot, but we didn't mind. Whenever it rained really hard, Mom would put up an umbrella over the bed so we didn't get dripped on in our sleep. Yes. Oh, sod houses, they were cozy, warm in winter, cool in summer. Had a good feeling about them.
Some people found it really hard, though, especially the bachelors. A lot of them were from the city, maybe a bank clerk or something. Worked in offices all their lives. And all of a sudden, here they were out in the wild prairies, surrounded by coyotes and gophers. Well, some of them couldn't take it and headed back to where they came from pretty quick. Just couldn't stand the wide open spaces.
My name is Dan Gold, an old bachelor I am. I am keeping old Batch on an elegant plan. You will find me out here on Alberta's bush plain, a starving to death on a government claim. So come to Alberta, there's room for you all, where the wind never ceases, the rain always falls, where the sun always sets, and there it remains till you get frozen out on your government claim. My house, it is built of the natural soil, the walls are erected according to Hoyle. The roof has no pitch, it is level and plain, and I always get wet when it happens to rain. My clothes, they are ragged, my language is rough, my bread is case-hardened and solid and tough. My dishes are scattered all over the room, and my floor is afraid of the sight of a broom. How happy I am when I roll into bed. The rattlesnake rattles a tune at my head, and the little mosquito, devoid of all fear, crawls over my face and into my ear. The little bedbug, so cheerful and bright, he keeps me up laughing two-thirds of the night. And the smart little flea with the tacks in his toes crawls up through my whiskers and tickles my nose. You may try to raise wheat, you may try to raise rye, you may stay there and live, you may stay there and die. But as for myself, I'll no longer remain a starving to death on a government claim. So farewell to Alberta, farewell to the West. It's backwards I'll go, to the girl I love best. I'll go back to the East and get me a wife and never eat cornbread the rest of my life.
That sure is true about bugs and mosquitoes. I remember when we first came here from Poland, we never knew what a mosquito was. You just could not believe what they were like. My mother would send me to the slough for a pail of water. The way through was thick, long grass, and this was where the mosquitoes lived. I was wearing a long-sleeve shirt, long pants, so it was my neck and my face that they were after. Imagine going out in July, wearing mittens to get a pail of water. Yes, I remember that first summer. They were so bad. You know, when my father was plowing, I had to walk on one side of the horses and my little brother on the other, waving bits of cloth tied to sticks to keep the horses calm because the mosquitoes were driving them crazy. And this went on day after day, week after week, all summer long.
Oh, and what about the gophers?
Oh, yes.
They nearly ate us out of house and home. There were millions of them all over the prairies. and every one of them filling his belly with weak notes. You know, they got so bad that the government put a bounty on them. Kill a gopher, bring in the tail. You got a penny a tail. There's a lot of money in those days. My eldest son used to snare them and make enough to buy himself new clothes. Might have 400 or 500 gopher tails. Take them into town, to the government, in a box, collect his money. I don't know who counted those tails one by one, but it must have been an awful job.
I am the flunky of the house, they call me Flunky Jim. You'll find me knocking around the yard in my hat without a brim. My overalls are shabby and I have no shirt at all, but I'm going to get a new outfit with my gopher tails next fall. Oh, knocking around the yard, boys, knocking around the yard. It isn't such an easy job, don't fool yourself, old pard. My overalls are shabby and I have no shirt at all, but I'm going to get a new outfit with my gopher tails next fall. At night when Pa comes from the fields, he calls for Flunky Jim. He pats me on my curly head and my hat without a brim. He's apt to say, oh, Flunky Jim, your clothes are far too small, but I'm going to get a new outfit with my gopher tails next fall. Oh, knocking around the yard, boys, knocking around the yard. It isn't such an easy job, don't fool yourself, old pard. He's apt to say, oh, Flunky Jim, your clothes are far too small, but I'm going to get a new outfit with my gopher tails next fall. Well, I've counted all my gopher tails, I almost have enough to buy a hat, a fancy shirt, and pants that have a cuff. And then I'll hand my old ones down, they really are too small. Oh, I'll look swell when once I sell my gopher tails next fall.
Oh, knocking around the yard, boys, knocking around the yard. It isn't such an easy job, don't fool yourself, old pard.
And then I'll hand my old ones down, they really are too small. Oh, I'll look swell when once I sell my gopher tails.
Peter, listen to those chickens. Something's bothering them.
Oh, all right. I'd better go out and check.
Mrs. Kowalski, how did you and your husband first meet?
Well, now that Peter isn't here, I can tell you all about it. You see, when I was growing up in Ontario, all the young men were leaving our town and going west. Well, when I finished school, there was nothing much for me to do in a small Ontario town. Then my brother wrote me from Saskatchewan. Said he couldn't stand his own cooking anymore, so why didn't I go out there and cook for him? So I did. That's about it. I cooked for my brother, cleaned house, and one day a neighbor came over for a visit, and in the fall, bum, bum, ba, bum. I married him.
Oh, so the poor little girl of Ontario found herself a husband.
Just what I was looking for.
I'll sing you a song of that lone pest. It goes by the name of the Great Northwest. I cannot have a beau at all. They all skip out there in the fall. One by one they all clear out, thinking to better themselves, no doubt, caring little how far they go from the poor little girls of Ontario. Well, first I got mashed on Charlie Brown, the nicest fellow in all the town. But he tipped his hat and he sailed away, and now he's settled in Manitoba. One by one they all clear out, thinking to better themselves, no doubt, caring little how far they go from the poor little girls of Ontario. Then Henry Maynard, with his white cravat, his high stiff collar and his new plug hat, he said if he stayed he'd have to beg, and now he's settled in Winnipeg. One by one they all clear out, thinking to better themselves, no doubt, caring little how far they go from the poor little girls of Ontario. than my long-legged druggist with his specs on his nose. I really thought that he'd propose, but he sold his bottle shop and now he's gone, clear out to little Saskatchewan. One by one they all clear out, thinking to better themselves, no doubt, caring little how far they go from the poor little girls of Ontario. I'll pack my clothes in a carpet sack, I'll go out there and I'll never come back. I'll find me a husband and a good one too, if I have to go through to Caribou. One by one we'll all clear out, thinking to better ourselves, no doubt, caring little how far we go from the old, old folks of Ontario.
Well, we had three children, and they married and had families of their own. Oh, we went through the good times, and then the dry years, but we stayed on a farm. It all worked out pretty well. What was it, Peter?
Oh, just the neighbor's cat. She was prowling around the hen house trying to get in.
No.
It's getting late. We better be going.
Oh, no. That's too bad.
Yeah, we've got a long drive ahead of us.
Oh. Well, we really enjoyed having you. Please, come and see us again.
Sure. Drop in any time. Next time, we'll show you around the place a bit, eh?
That would be nice.
Well, goodbye. Thanks a lot. It was really a good dinner, and it was really nice talking to you.
And for telling us all about homesteading.
Oh,
nothing.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Rika.
Bye-bye.
Bye, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Homesteaders was written and produced in Vancouver by John Bartlett, Gary Marcuse, and Rika Rupsat. The actors were Lillian Carlson and Joseph Golland. Musical accompaniment by Keith Malcolm, Murray Shulbrade, Bob Webb, and Fred Weiss. The lead singers were John Bartlett and Rika Rupsat. Technical production by Hal Beckett and Entmoot Studios. Readings were taken from Barry Broadfoot's The Pioneer Years, published in Canada by Doubleday. Thanks for listening.